take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Thursday morning, 34 minutes after the hour. Still to come on the program in the 10 o'clock hour, Todd Stacey of Alabama Daily News. And then we'll have a sit-down with Congressman Mo Brooks. Recently announced he is running for United States Senate. That was on Monday night. We'll get one of his first radio interviews. I think first time he's been on radio here for the Mobile audience. Also, Houston County Commissioner Brandon Shoup. He's also the chairman of the county party here. We'll get some details on what's going on here. Well, kind of like what the Republican Party looks like in his view. And then finally, Senator Tommy Tuberville, y'all know him well, on his way to the border later today. We got him to wrap it all up, so make sure you stick around for that. But joining us now, very pleased to, I just got to meet this gentleman, but he runs a facility here called the Wiregrass Rehabilitation Center, has a great reputation. He also is in the state legislature. State Representative Paul Lee joins us here on the set. Representative, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to have you in Dothan and good to have you here at Wiregrass Rehabilitation Center.
Well, thanks for hosting me. I do appreciate it. Tell us about this facility and a little bit about what it does.
Well, very good. Yes, we're very pleased and proud to have this facility here. It's been here over 50 years in the city of Dothan and started out with people with disabilities and has grown to what we have today, a 26-acre campus. We have approximately 200 jobs here on the facility. We put people with disabilities to work. 75% of our direct labor have a documented disability. We also help find, not only am I in the job creating business in the legislature, but here as well. So what we're doing is finding people jobs out in the community, somewhere between 150, 200 people every year. So that's what we do. Everybody deserves the opportunity to stand alone and be able to work and enjoy life and be independent.
So it's got a history of 50 years here, and obviously that is something, you know, that has left an impact on the community overall over the years, I would think.
It is. We're most people that run for any type of office of any sort, whether it's local, state, or even national, sometimes come through here, and this is a facility where everyone comes and has their meetings and tries to speak and tell their story of why they should be elected, and we're very fortunate to have it. We're run by a board. It's a nonprofit. I'm the executive director here, have been for many years. And we want to make sure that this is continues the way it is and continues to grow. We have contracts with local businesses, Michelin, Dunbarton, Twitchell, and we do those. We have some federal contracts that we work on as well. So we're very pleased. We have about 12 or 13 different businesses on this facility. And whatever we can do to create a job for these people, that's what we do. And it's a great opportunity for them that they may not have anywhere else.
And that's interesting because that's one thing. Whenever you talk to these local policymakers, the one thing they'll tell you, it's always about finding qualified people to fill jobs. Now, this may not be the big enchilada when it comes to solving that problem. But a lot of this helps, I guess every little bit helps, and this seems to be one of those avenues or one of those resources of, you know, businesses looking for qualified help can use.
It is, and you'd be surprised how often people reach out to us locally for different projects and different business opportunities that we do. For example, we have one of the largest laundry facilities here that does nothing but hospital laundry. We do four major hospitals in this area, Flowers Hospital, Enterprise Medical Center, Geneva Hospital, and Troy Hospital here. We do over 3 million pounds of laundry every year. So that's our specialty that we do, and we pick it up, take care of it, and deliver it back the next day. That's just one of the 12 businesses here.
And, you know, we were talking to the Commissioner Spivey here just a moment ago, But, you know, a lot of people come here to Dothan, and it turns out, I don't know if people are aware of this in our listening audience, you mentioned the hospital, Laundry, but medical health services, such a big part of this community, and I guess you need all these sort of parts and pieces to make it work all together.
It is. We're very fortunate. I happen to be the chairman of the health committee in the House and very involved on the health side, especially through this pandemic with the state. But the city of Dothan has been very fortunate to have grown the medical facilities that we have here. We're sitting in a unique position. We are the hub in the tri-states. Within 60 miles of Dothan Circular, there's probably 500,000 people that come here to shop. They come here for the medical care. And we've seen that. That's in the good times and as well as in the bad. In the good times, it's great. Now, during the pandemic, it was challenging sometimes because they're also coming here because this is their home for their medical care. And we've been very fortunate because we have been able to sustain that and to take care of people not only in Alabama in the southeast corner, the southwest Georgia and the panhandle of Florida. So that's what we're known for here. We have the nuclear plant. We have a lot of different things going on. We're one of the unique areas that is not just solely defined on one thing. And we're more diverse here. And that may be why we may not get the attention that some places do, because we are so diverse with farming, the nuclear plant, the facilities that we have in manufacturing here, the health care. And, you know, in a lot of cases, especially in a time like we've been through in the last year, that's probably a good benefit to have, because some of these areas got hit hard and we were diverse, so diverse that we didn't maybe get hit as hard as a lot of areas did.
Yeah, and you know, it's healthcare, I think, coming out of this pandemic is going to be a big focus, whether it's, you know, looking at these, figuring out ways to mitigate if we ever have the situation in the future. And, you know, that you're going to have communities, I think, really put an emphasis on that. And you know, we always talk about healthcare in the state. We think of Birmingham and UAB. Maybe we think of Huntsville somewhat, some degree too, but you guys here, I guess, are going to have to be ready for that. That's going to require, you know, some resources.
We do. We have actually have a DO school, medical school here. We about 140 come through a year, and so we're very fortunate to have that. So that's been a big impact, positive impact here. We've just been very fortunate. You know, one thing it kind of leads into, as far as the state goes, one of the things I think is so important, we do a very poor job of telling some stories occasionally, success stories, but state of Alabama's in the top five as far as rebounding from the pandemic. And we're in the top 10 as far as being financially stable and solid. And that didn't happen overnight. That's because of the decisions we started making in 2010, 11, 12, and 13. This finally paid off through our budgeting process. We're in the middle of our budgeting process right now in the state. You have two of the largest budgets that we've ever had. And that's because of not just things that's happened in the last 365 days, but because it started with some budget changes that we made and was not the most popular thing at the time, but today has paid off greatly.
Well, and you mentioned the budget, general fund, just getting out of your body in the House. How do you feel about it? The Senate with the ETF, they seem to be feel like that's in a pretty good place too. Record budgets there, so I guess it's their turn to take a look at the general fund. You guys are going to have the turn to take a look at the Education Trust Fund here soon. But the general fund that you guys just passed by a big margin, by the way, how do you feel about it?
Solid. It is good, solid, and one of the, I believe it's the largest budget that's ever been passed in the general fund. And we walked into the pandemic on both the House, on the education budget and the general fund budget with additional monies that we've never done before. And so also because of the things that were decisions were made about keeping us open, yes, we had to wear masks, but wearing masks was just really nothing compared to shutting a business down. Because of the leadership that we've had at the governor's level to trying to keep the businesses open has paid off with both budgets. And I think that that gave us an extra bump as far as recovering as quickly as we have.
Well, and the governor, you know, she's taken a lot of shots for her response to the pandemic. But when you talk to a lot of folks, it's mixed. Everybody has kind of an opinion. Some thinks you didn't go far enough. Some things that we should extend a mask order. Do you have an assessment, particularly as it relates to this area of the handling of from the executive level, not just the governor, state health officer as well, and other entities handling of the pandemic?
I think we're like everyone else. You always had those that question and didn't like decisions that's been made. Whoever it is that's being questioned, when they ran for this office, you're never going to have 100% support on a decision, but the next decision you may. I give you an example here with our 200 employees and the decisions that I have to make daily. I called in my staff and told them, okay, we're going through a period of time that nobody living has ever been through. We're talking about over 100 years ago. So we're going to be facing things that we've never faced. I've made decisions I'm going to use Governor Ivey as an example, but I've used it here on this facility, making decisions that you can't go to school for, that there's no history to make decisions for. So what we do is make the best decision with what we have at the time. And then when we get through it, look back and we'll be able to say, man, that was a great decision on that particular thing. And then look at another one and say, well, that was a bad decision. But at the time, you're doing the best you know with what the information you have.
And that seems to be a debate, particularly in the legislature right now, that do you redo the whole system? Is that the lesson we learned? Or do you apply the lessons you learn and operate under the existing guidelines or the existing system? Where do you think you line up on that?
Well, I think that if you'll just look at what I just mentioned as far as being in the top five and the top 10, there were some good decisions that were made. Now, are there some that probably could have gone a little less or a little further? That's what I think. Anytime you make a decision in the business world, at the end of the day, you need to assess it and make sure that are there anything that we could have tweaked and done better. Make note of it, because hopefully it'll be another 100 years or never happen, but someone can take that and use it and say, well, we need to do this a little differently. There's always room for improvement. As far as scrapping the whole model that we have, absolutely not.
Yeah, well, I mean, and as being a chairman of the health committee, right, your counterpart in the Senate, Dr. McClendon, wants to kind of redo how the state health officer is set up. Right now you have a board that's not really elected, and he's not really an elected guy. Do we need to look at that office? Do we need to look at that agency and rein it back in to where the legislature or the governor or some combo of the two have a little more oversight of it?
I'm actually working with them presently. I think we may have something that we can present next year that will address some of the concerns that are out there, and hopefully we can make it better. You know, it's worked for 150 years. Do I think we need to scrap it completely? No, but could there be some adjustments? Yes, and I think that we're going to work on that. Well, I know we are. Just had some conversation yesterday and see if we can't bring it back next year, because we, as far as it being in the middle of a pandemic that we're trying to get ourselves out of, and changing courses completely would not be a good idea.
So the idea is have this debate, but after we settle what's going on now, and then we could take a bigger look at it. But, I guess the fear, when you talk to these people, it seems as if Dr. Scott Harris is acting responsibly and as well as anybody could. But the fear is, what if you have a rogue actor someday that would impose something that isn't democratic? I mean, does that be addressed, that you need to decentralize some of that authority?
That's a great question. I think that we will have an answer for that in a year from now. And, you know, I really have a little bit of concern with someone making the type decisions that he's making that answers to someone politically. Because I've seen decisions that were made that I'm not sure that I would have agreed with at the time, but looking back, I'm thinking he made the right decision because he had more information than I have. And, you know, I'm hearing from different groups here one way or the other, supportive or non-supportive. But, you know, I think I have a lot of information, but sometimes I know that I don't have the information as he would have, or nor the background in medical education that he has. So you have to have someone there that's willing to step out and make a decision and have the information to back up his decision.
Well, I guess what component of personal responsibility or all of these high-minded ideals of, you know, the liberties and the freedoms do you, even though he's trying to make the right decision, he's using government authority to do so. How do you think that balance is out of whack, or is this something you're going to probably have to look at later on down the road?
I think that we went through a time when we really didn't know what we were facing, and there was thought that there were some extreme things that had to take place, and it was an educational period for everyone. You know, anyone that looks at what we've been through and can stand up and say, well, I would have made a different decision at the time, I would be careful, because, you know, I'm not sure how they'd know what decision they would have made with very little information. And unfortunately, the information was changing daily. Now, that's just a question that we'll have to address as we get through that. It's kind of like an after-game meeting. Right? How did we do? What do we need to change? What could we have done better? How good was this decision? What negative impact did it have? What kind of positive impact did it have? A lot of things will need to be looked at in the rearview mirror. Hindsight's 20/20. Whenever you're making a decision that day, all you have is that picture that you're deciding on for the period.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here, pick this discussion up on the other side. We talk a little bit more about what's going on in the legislature. This is It Talk 106.5. Unwind, falling out of love in the same night. Can't say I got a whole lot of care.
I fly a starship across the universe divide. And when I reach the other side.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. We're live in Dothan this morning. Very gracious host here, State Representative Paul Lee, putting us up at the Wiregrass Rehabilitation Center. So we're very thankful for that opportunity. Come up here shortly from Alabama Daily News. Todd Stacey will be with us. Also, recently announced U.S. Senate candidate Congressman Mo Brooks, Houston County Commissioner Brandon Shoup, and we'll close it all out with United States Senator Tommy Tuberville on his way to the border. Make sure you stick around for that. But still here, Representative Lee with us. We're just heading to break. Got to talk about things going on in the legislature. You guys are in the middle of spring break right now. Picking it up on the other side, is the focus, I guess, still going to be not knowing what we could happen with the pandemic, if there's a spike in cases there on Goat Hill, is it still going to be kind of narrowly focused on getting, you know, I guess some controversial bills got done last week, but getting the budgets squared away and things of that nature?
Well, priority are the budgets. That's the only thing we're required to do each year, and they've actually moved fairly good and swift without many problems. I'm on general fund as well, and there's been a lot of work that goes on behind the scene prior to even session starting. So, and I know that happens on the education budget, so there's a lot of work that goes into that almost year-round. And, yes, we're on our week break this week, so we're basically halfway through. We'll start back, and I can speak for the health committee because I decide the agendas and those type of things, but next week we'll have a couple of bills on, and then the following week, if the medical marijuana bill comes out of judicial, then it will come to us week after next, and we will have that. I'm sure there will be a public hearing called, so we will either vote on it that day if it gets to us, and I'm thinking that it could very well. We either vote on it that day or the following week. I've done this on purpose. I haven't backed myself in a corner and say that we're going to always vote the next week simply because of the environment we're in, and you never know what type of outbreak or how short the session may be cut short. So I've tried to let my committee members know that that day I'll try to decide, do we wait another week or do we vote on it after the public hearing? So,
well, how do you feel about the Melson bill real quick?
Well, it's been a tremendous amount of work done on it. I think it was 3 years ago. You know, time flies, but I think it was three sessions that this bill came through to the House. And, you know, I was kind of mud there for a little while, because it was so broad and wide open, and actually worked with Senator Meltzer. He has been wonderful to work with on it. He has done a lot of work. Matter of fact, I'm not sure that any particular bill that I can remember that anybody's put forth the effort and the work. So we basically passed it where a bill where we got the different people, physicians, and all the different people at the table, and he's worked through that and made that happen.
Representative, we got to get out of here. Up against the hard break, but thank you for letting us use your facility, and thanks for coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You're welcome anytime.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.
As a homeowner and your neighbor, I want to tell you about my friends at Air Specialty.